what shamans in the Amazon say, that actually shamans around the world also say, is that in their visions, they perceive essences or spirits or mothers or entities, they use different words, that are common to all life forms and that are sources of information. So, and it is these entities that make the kinship between ourselves and other species and means that we can communicate with them and so on. Well, I was just trying to make sense of these concepts and look for an equivalent concept in rational knowledge. Well, it turns out that since 1953, that is exactly what scientists have been saying. They're saying, under the surface of different beings, you go in there and there are cells, and when you go inside every cell of every living being, inside the nucleus, what you find is this extremely long, double helix-shaped molecule that is also a text and that is just filled with information. And actually, DNA molecules are the same from one organism to another. The only thing that changes is the order of the letters. Mm-hmm. So here is an exactly analogous concept generated by science after the 1950s that corresponds on multiple levels to what shamans around the world have been saying for thousands of years. Maybe it's more complicated than that. I proposed to do a double reading. Here is what molecular biologists are saying, and here is what shamans are saying. It would seem that they're talking about the same reality, but from a different perspective. Now, if scientists really want to be the ones who come out as like the winners and who are better than everybody, okay. It is true that through rational science, they put their finger on the physico-chemical manifestation of this entity that is shaped like that. And now the double helix has become the sign of molecular biology. But actually, that sign, that twisted ladder shape, is the sign of shamans around the world on five continents and has been for thousands of years. And I'm not the one who says it. Historians of religion who've compared the world religions are the ones who point this out. Now, what we want to make of this correspondence is actually a question. I've formulated a hypothesis that what this correspondence may indicate is that biomolecular information can be obtained from visions orchestrated by an indigenous shaman. So the point, if we're going to follow the method of science, is to test the hypothesis. So on several occasions, I have accompanied molecular biologists and also a medical researcher looking with a question in their scientific research. For the moment, they've not been able to find the answer by, let's say, conventional means. So they've been working for years on a given question with all the high-tech tools in the lab. They haven't found the solution yet. Well, maybe if we try this alternative path, they might come up with some new ideas and some new hypotheses. Most recently, I took one of the world's leading tuberculosis researchers to work with an Amazonian ayahuasca shaman. Tuberculosis kills 2 million people in a year, per year, mainly poor people. It's not a disease that interests the big pharmaceutical companies because it's a poor people's disease. Nevertheless, 2 million people every year, and the number is growing, are dying. So this guy runs the Institute for Tuberculosis Research at the University of Illinois, Chicago, and after years of fruitless investigation, all he wants to do is find a substance or a plant that can cure this disease. Well, it turns out that that's what shamans want to do too. The common ground is really easy. And where are there the most plants in the world? It's in the Amazonian forest. This is by far the richest environment for plants in the world. So it actually just makes sense to take one scientific researcher to go and have a conversation with one indigenous shaman and to work on one illness to see if we can come up with one or two plants that might have an effect, for the good of humanity. So that's what we did. And actually, it was surprisingly easy because the ayahuasca shaman said, Oh, you're looking for a remedy for tuberculosis. Why, I actually have one here because I've had tuberculosis patients, and I've taken ayahuasca with my patients, and in their presence, the ayahuasca showed me a plant, which is a vine that grows in inundated forest in a precise place, that is called boahuasca locally, but that for the moment has not been identified by science. In other words, it does not have a Latin name.
Does not exist for
not yet. But anyhow, the scientist took this vine extract back to the lab in Chicago, and preliminary research on mice confirms that it has anti-tuberculosis activity. Mm-hmm. You know, but more research is needed, and there's all kinds. Bringing science and shamanism together, at least on paper, as I'm talking about it now, sounds easy. But every time I've tried it, unimaginable difficulties crop up. You know, like getting a rainforest shaman and a university research department on the same page, literally, I mean, you got to fill out paperwork and then, you know, try importing a plant into the United States that does not have a Latin name. Well, this goes under the Bioterrorism Act. And, you know, so for the moment, actually, the research is kind of stalled for this kind of incompatibility between, because in the Peruvian Amazon, it's easy. You go and see the ayahuasca shaman, you have a disease, he finds a plant according to what the visions say, and then you work with it, you know. There is no bioterrorism bureaucracy. So, but you know, the conclusion for the moment is by the small attempts that have been made for the moment of getting over our prejudices and bringing shamans and scientists together, you know, looking for remedies or looking for knowledge. For the moment, it has been fruitful but difficult. And the conclusion, temporary conclusion, is that more research is needed.